How many downloads of Jim and Bill It's Another Day podcast?
Today, the podcast show has fetched 400 million downloads since its start, and an average of 350,000 downloads per episode, about 3.9 million downloads per week.
Well, hello there. Welcome to the Weekend Update. I'm Jim Harrington.
And I am Bill Knight. Happy Saturday, Super Bowl weekend. So a lot of eyes are on the Super Bowl. That also means, too, that the little snibbly nerds, we'll call them that out there, that like to sit there and, do all their hit pieces on the news. They're going to try to do that this weekend and do whatever they can.
Sniveling nerds. I like that, Bill.
Sniveling Democrats.
Certain, yeah. Je ne sais quoi. You know, I was thinking all of the deep state leftist judges are adding their two cents to a lot of these critical executive orders that Trump has issued, you know, and Trump hasn't responded to it. He's, you know, you would expect that he would have made some sort of, no, just let, it's almost like he's trying to get them to come out of the woodwork. He's trying to, because, and they can't help themselves. They have to add their two cents. And I do think that most of the executive orders that have been delayed by these judges will eventually either become law or these judges will have to drop their temporary restraining orders, you know?
Well, he had the meeting yesterday with the Prime Minister of Japan. Now, I happened to hear that. I was in the car driving. And so I listened to it. And, you know, it, as those kind of press conferences go, they're kind of boring, but everything I heard in it was good. And then I read this morning, well, the critics had something to say about that. I'm going, critics, who would be? All the Democrats. Those are the guys that had the problem with what he had to say and what went on there. What I heard was all very good and very positive. So, you know, they're attacking that. He mentioned, too, that he gave Doge the authority to go into the, the Treasury Department. And look at the numbers there, and all of a sudden the judge comes out and blocks it because there might be sensitive material, okay? We're making payments, all kinds of payments. You don't want us to see who the payees are? Where the money's going?
You know,
why can't we?
While he was being interviewed by the press, he and the Japanese prime minister were sitting in front of the fireplace. And one of these nerds, sniveling nerds in the media?
Sniveling nerds.
Sniveling nerds in the media decided that he'd try to nail President Trump by saying, and I didn't see the cover, but apparently this recent edition of the Time magazine has Elon Musk sitting at the Resolute desk in the Oval Office. No description, just is insinuating that he was the president sitting behind the resolution.
So what?
So sniveling nerd, as you would say, said, Mr. President, do you have a reaction to the new Time magazine cover that has Elon Musk sitting at your Resolute desk? Here's how it went.
Mr. President, do you have a reaction to the new Time magazine cover that has Elon Musk sitting behind your Resolute desk?
Time magazine にイーロン・マスクが大統領の机の後ろで座っている写真がありますけども、それに関するコメントは何かありますか?
Is Time magazine still in business? I didn't even know that.
Time magazine は...
Is Time magazine still in business? I didn't know. But when she asked the question, Trump took in a deep breath, like, here I am sitting with the Japanese prime minister, an important meeting discussing trade and all these different things that are really, really important to the world. And the first question from this nerd, this sniveling nerd, is, does he have a reaction to the picture of Time magazine's cover? This is the same media that a month ago sat with Joe Biden and dutifully said and asked nothing of the guy. This guy couldn't finish a sentence without drooling. And now we have a president who is incredibly accessible again. And these people in the media can't help themselves. It's really sad.
They're very high schoolish. You know, this is like turf wars in high school. And the logic of what they're throwing out there is pretty much that. You know, hey, I'll meet you at the pit at 3:30. You know, hey, at least then you got something done. But either way, this is just childish what they're doing.
I know, and it's not going to get any better. By the way, we should remind people this update brought to you by Jim and Bill's Right Side Coffee. Jim and Bill's Right Side Coffee, available at our rightsideshop.com, rightsideshop.com. It's a delicious coffee made with the finest coffee beans available. And if you don't believe us, you got to go and try it for yourself. It's just that simple. Jim and Bill's Right Side Coffee. And Bill, you said they introduced a new brand this past week, right?
We got MAPA. It's Make America Percolate Again.
I like it.
Where you can elevate your mornings with our premium MAPA medium roast coffee sourced from the vibrant heart of Central America.
Oh, I like it.
Each 12-ounce pack available in ground or whole beans is packed with rich, delicious flavor that transforms your daily routine into a delightful ritual. Brew bold, sip confidently, and savor the flavor, the taste of quality. So go ahead. Drink up and inspire yourself to greatness.
Ooh, somebody gave this man a script. He didn't ad-lib that. That sounded good. I mean, that sounded decent. Yeah, you got to try it, Bill. I mean, I know you have, but our listeners have got to try it. Right Side Coffee, Jim and Bill's Right Side Coffee, and MAPA Coffee. Two different types of coffee, one great flavor. Try for yourself, okay? And by the way, we're the only coffee company that to have Juan Jose and the Border Crossers singing the jingle.
Wake up on the right side with Right Side Coffee.
Wake up on the right side with Right Side Coffee. Don't be left behind.
Yeah, you don't want to do it. And certified, too. Graded and certified as specialty grade craft coffee, so
it's good stuff. Hey, gotta get it.
This show will be a little shorter today because we've had some technical. Well, I've had some technical issues. All right. I mean, I was going to say, the corporate we, the royal we have, but no, it's been me. Bill's fine. Heck, Bill's at a remote location and he has no problems. But me, no, I'm in my main studio and everything goes kaflooey.
I got a new portable main studio because it doesn't matter what you have. They update. These updates just kill you.
I had one of my favorite aunts. She's passed. She used to call. She used to be into astrology. She would say, these are the days that are in retrograde. I guess being in retrograde means no matter how hard you try, the stars aren't lined up and you're going to have a bad day. I guess that's what I'm having. So if it's a shorter show, bear with us. We definitely wanted to get you a show because there are things to talk about, important stuff. Did you see where they took down the signage over the U.S. Agency for International Development building in Washington?
Yeah, they're not too happy about that. But, your sign goes away, which means you go away. Bye-bye.
Yes. Try as they may, they're dragging their feet. And some of these people are not going peacefully. Some of these people who are running some of these operations that are being canceled by this president are refusing to leave the building.
Well, they're saying he doesn't have the right to fire them.
Well,
then who does?
Well, you work at the pleasure of the president. And you may not care for this, but he has the right to say what we say every day after every show. Hasta la vista, baby, you're out of here.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, you see where Kamala Harris and her husband, they showed up at a Lakers basketball game a couple of days ago, and nobody noticed.
Nobody cared.
It was like,
too bad.
Yeah, I mean, she was literally, I think she knew cameras were on her. So she was waving at the crowd like she's at a convention, and everybody, and they showed, nobody's paying attention. It's like, we have a hard time finding your seat, lady.
The interesting thing is, you would have believed from the mainstream media that she was the shoe-in, she was going to win it. I think she believed her own propaganda. She had to know that if she looked out there, there was really nobody there but the buses Well, the people that came in the buses to come to see her, that nobody, you know, wanted to come see her. She knew that. The media sat there and admitted, yeah, well, we kind of hyped the numbers in hopes that people would catch on to it. They didn't, because they didn't like what she was selling.
Well, you got to feel bad for Californians, because the latest news is that she has her eye on the governor's job. That's right. She's looking to get a job in Sacramento, the big job in Sacramento. She wants to be the governor of California. So if you think things were bad with Gavin Newsom as your governor, hold your coffee.
Jeez. Well, you know, he's not doing the most brilliant stuff out there. And so they're likely to vote him out. But you got to look at the Democrats going like, are you that stupid that you would vote Kamala in?
Yeah.
Or maybe it's time to just make a wholesale change and try something different for change. Do you think it's going to be any different with Kamala?
You know, Bill, I can't get over the fact that really a good portion, if you look at California's map, most of it is red. It's just it's just these heavily populated blue cities, and we don't know whether they're all legal. I mean, I'm just saying, you know, but those the blue cities, they carry the weight.
Well, so, you know, and if they're illegal, let's be honest. You heard about the lady that got arrested for ripping down an American flag and putting up the Mexican flag and saying this is Mexican territory or Mexico territory. Well, you know what? You know, that's a pretty bold statement, because then that means if, you know, Mexico has got all these people here that are trying to say it's their land, that's an invasion.
Well, I think you said it yesterday, and it's true. I mean, if you can burn an American flag, why can't you burn a Mexican flag in this country, or an LGBTQ flag? Or, I mean, those are hate crimes if you do that, you know. But if you want to burn an American flag, it's okay. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, here's a question for you. So if somebody out there said, you know, I'm going to make an AI video of the American flag flying in the background, I'm not telling you to do this, and in the foreground, all these flags of these nations that are illegally here are burning.
That'd be a hate video. Yeah,
that'd be a hate video, and you'd go to jail, and they would get, they'd probably get some reparations for that.
Oh, you'd be on everybody's naughty boy list. How's that?
There's another list. It's the SL list. Okay.
Yes,
I get it.
Exactly. But I'm not saying that, Bill. I know you want to.
I don't want to.
Yes, you do. I can tell.
Shout loud list. Yes, I know. I said it now.
Yeah. You see where President Trump? He, you know, by the way, he's really not bothered by the whining and complaining that is coming from the left. It's amazing. And the media, all of their pundits are trying to say, well, you can't do this. People are going to lose their job. And Trump is not commenting. It's like, hey, it's damn the torpedoes, full speed ahead. He's now told Elon Musk and his Doge people to conduct a comp. This is going to go over like a lead balloon. A comprehensive audit of the Pentagon's funding. Oh. You know, Eisenhower did when he said goodbye, his farewell, I think back in 61, he talked about the great military industrial complex that's, you know, running Washington. You got to be aware of it. Right? These people have got to be drinking a lot of Pepto-Bismol or something, because this president, he's not stopping for anybody. And it should be interesting. And I guess Pete Hegseth said by the end of his 4 years, he'll have what they call a clean audit of the Pentagon. I guess he will have everything balanced and in place. You'll be able to tell where every dime in the
Pentagon.
You got to
hope so. I mean, that's...
I mean, what
I hope so. I mean, to me, that seems a little long, but then again, 4 years is not that long. So, you know, I'm just I'm hoping they get everything there.
Well, I think there's an urgency that has been initiated by Trump. I mean, Trump, I think, spent 4 years preparing for all of this. Everything we're seeing right now, it's not a spur of the moment type thing. He's not just he's not going to bed thinking that, what am I going to do tomorrow? He has a game plan. If he were a coach, he would have gamed everything out. He knows exactly what's going to happen. He knows that these weasel judges going to throw roadblocks in front of a lot of his executive orders. He's not surprised by this. I mean, it's like a good football coach. You know, here is Super Bowl weekend, right? A good football coach, he not only has the plan for his team, but he's planned what the opposing team is going to do to counter him. You know, he has to have a good idea what the other people on the other side are going to do to thwart his activities. And I think that that's Donald Trump. He's approaching everything right now like it's a very sophisticated, very important game, and it probably should be looked at it that way. Let's see, other things going on in the news. Tons of stuff. In a decisive move signaling the Trump administration's commitment to reform, the U.S. Agency for International Development has begun removing the signage. I love that.
Yeah, it's done.
You know, we talked about the left representatives are having, they don't know what to do.
A meltdown.
Bill, they don't know what to do. They go to the Environmental Protection Agency building yesterday, or maybe it was
with Maxine Waters.
Oh,
she needs
nuts.
To be brought up in charges. The way that she tried to embarrass that guy, but she goes in there. Who are you? We're just trying to protect your job and doing all this stuff. She had no legal right, no bounds, no nothing. She was trying to bully her way in and belittle this guy and make fun of this guy. And it's there for all the world to see. If you have not seen it, you need to go. It's on Gateway Pundit. You know, Gateway Pundit's a right-wing paper. Yeah, but you know what? The video doesn't lie.
Right.
And you're not going to see it on MSNBC or CBS or CNN because it doesn't promote their cause.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, you need to see it. She needs to be brought up in charges. And what she's worried about is what we're going to see when we get in there and start looking at everything. Democrats are going nuts.
Well, I don't know whether you remember this or not. About 4 years ago, 3 years ago, she, maybe it was about 4 or 5 years ago, but she got out when, and she told, if you see any Republican having dinner, get in his face.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let them be comfortable. And what happened, Sarah Huckabee Sanders was having dinner with her family privately at a restaurant in Virginia. Somebody recognized her, and before you know it, while she's trying to have a comfortable dinner with her family, they started to harass her to a point where she and her family got up, the owner of the place apologized, and she left the building.
Mm-hmm.
But that goes back to Maxine Waters. That goes back to what she was screaming, get in their face. And, you know, and in all honesty, Bill, I think you could probably take that what she said there, what she said in front of the EPA building the day before yesterday, you could bring her up on charges.
Oh, I think you should, and there's a lot more than that. Look, I know she's an old woman. I know that she's black. I know that women go, oh, she wears high heels. She's got power heels on. All that aside, she's bad news. Bad news. Well, she needs to be held accountable for what she's done.
Should people be given a pass because they get older?
You know, no, you shouldn't be given a pass for age. You shouldn't be given a pass for race. You shouldn't be given a pass for sexual orientation. You should be held accountable for what you do and say.
And mark my words, Bill, they're going to go after Biden, this administration. I think Trump has got an ace up his sleeve.
Uh-huh.
I think Biden's in trouble. He shouldn't be given a pass because, you know, Trump's only about 3 or 4 years younger than Biden, and they try to put him in jail, you know?
Mm-hmm. So anyway. Yeah, what is it? The O'Keefe. He's head of that group.
James O'Keefe, yeah.
James O'Keefe, and they have everything on his daughter's diary.
It used to be called Project Veritas. Well, he left that group. Now it's O'Keefe Media Group.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, apparently that's all in the limelight now. And, you know, he's basically saying, you know, you might want to lawyer up because there's some stuff going to be shed, going to see the light of day on that. And I didn't realize it. I mean, I remember the news, you know, that Joe showered with
right
his daughter, but yeah. Apparently she goes, yeah, she was, you know, introduced to sex at a young age, and you know, probably shouldn't admit it, but even with her dad. And I'm going, oh he's a pedophile. Wow. It's big time. It's in there. They're trying to redact everything, and that's why they're saying, you know, Joe and the boys there better lawyer up, because it's not going to be pretty if, well, I mean, her diary, it doesn't lie. That's well, her words.
Yeah. Well, I think that he is, this is not a new corruption. I think he's been a corrupt guy since he was a young man. There was an interview on TV where a reporter said, and of course, you know, the corrupt politicians in Washington, of course, you're excluded, Senator Biden. And Biden came back and said on camera something along the lines of, well, I don't think I should really be excluded from that, but thank you very much. He the numbskull kind of acknowledged that, yeah, I'm corrupt. You got me, but that's besides the point. And he continued the conversation.
Oh, he thinks he thinks he's above everything. Well, Trump, what did Trump do? He took away Joe's protection rights.
He took away his security briefings.
Briefings.
A president gets daily security briefings. Former presidents, because it's a courtesy, really. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And President Trump indicated, well, it's maybe not a good idea that we give this guy who has dementia and doesn't know what he's saying top secret meetings, because he may just spill it all out by accident. So he took it away.
Or he's going to leak to the left, okay, here's what Trump's up to, you know? I mean, we don't have to give them any heads up. Let the chips fall where they may fall. Little side note here. Remember that plane in Alaska that was lost off the radar? Or whatever, they found it.
Really?
Yeah, they found it yesterday. All 10 aboard dead. So you've got that that's going on. There was news on the Black Hawk helicopter. The ADS-B was turned off, and that's the system.
Oh, Bill, did you see the wreckage being lifted out of the water? They didn't show it on a lot of TV, but mm-hmm. I did see it online. The Black Hawk helicopter's front end was mm-hmm. unrecognizable. I've never seen this kind of damage. It was completely, I'm talking about the front seats, the whole compartment that they were sitting in was completely obliterated. I don't, you know, I don't know how they got the bodies.
They
out.
Died instantly. Yeah.
They, oh yeah.
Oh yeah. But well, what I'm saying is, the ADS-B system on the Black Hawk was turned off deliberately.
Yeah.
Which means no other aircraft can see them at all. So there was no way for the other plane to avoid them. The Black Hawk had turned into the path. You see that on the radar. Now it comes out that they were doing that. Oh, no, they wouldn't be wearing the night vision goggles. They're not supposed to. Guess what? Yeah, they were. So I'm sitting there going, nobody knows what the intentions were of that helicopter. Were they out there hot dogging it? Were they out there playing chicken? Were they out there doing something stupid because they were stupid? Or were they on a mission to do something and they screwed up?
Hey,
you know, I mean,
I heard somebody say who was a Black Hawk pilot that technically a helicopter like that could be flown remotely.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just leaving that like that. I mean, why else would they turn off their beacon so that they could be seen by other airplanes in the area? You know, why would they do that? There's something more going on here. We may never know, by the way, Bill.
No, I don't think we will, because I think we found out, you know, we're saying all these investigations can lead to some very wide open eyes. I think if we knew exactly what was going on, that's presuming that maybe the government or the somebody in the military was doing something nefarious.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they were. I thought that from the get-go. But that's just me thinking.
You know? I played this yesterday, and I'm going to play it again today, only because there is a real, in my opinion, telling line that President Trump says in his answer. I want you to, he's talking about the agent that Biden gets, but listen to his answer. This is important.
What do you think about Joe Biden signing on with the talent agents?
You got to be kidding. He signed on with the talent agents?
He does. He's got some entertainment agents now.
I think he's got bigger problems than that. I really do. I think he's got much bigger problems than that, but I wish him well. We inherited a mess. This place is a mess, but it's quickly being solved, the problem. We're going to make America great again. Thank you very much.
All right, guys.
Now, when he says I think he's got bigger problems than that, much bigger problems, that's very telling in that, you know, you don't hear the media saying anything. Like Joe's now a retired president, off he's gone, and he's off their radar, right? But when you hear Trump say, oh, I think he's got bigger problems than that, much bigger problems, that says to me there's a hammer that's about to fall, and if Joe doesn't know it, maybe he should get himself a lawyer. He should be talking about protection. What do you think?
Well, you got to wonder how far back all of this goes. It goes a long way back. But, you know, maybe, just maybe, this is just off-the-cuff thought. You know, Joe's an idiot. You know, you want something screwed up, you get give it to Joe Biden. Wasn't that what Obama said?
Obama said if he said, if you want something effed up, have Biden do it or give it to Joe Biden.
So, you know, if you've been involved with a lot of things you shouldn't be, and you're going, you know what, let's just put Biden in charge, because the hammer is going to fall, and let it hit him in the head.
Well, I think there's a good chance that something like that's going to happen. Interesting bit of audio from, of all people, John Fetterman. John Fetterman. I got both pieces here. He was talking on another podcast to a young lady who asked a couple of really interesting questions. I think her name was it Tony Palmieri? Oh, my goodness.
Something like that, yeah.
I should have my name in the stack of stuff here, but I don't see it. I probably will find it when the show is over. It'll probably fall on my lap. But, you know, he is, as he gets better from that stroke, his answers appear to be much more thoughtful. He was talking to Tara Palmieri's podcast, and I don't know who Tara is, but she asked a couple of good questions, I have to tell you that much. And I think that Fetterman, it wouldn't, now, I say this, and then I hear yesterday, and I'll talk about this afterwards, that he's thinking about not voting in the no category for Tulsi and for Robert F. Kennedy Jr., which surprised me. But then again, he is a Democrat, and maybe he's decided to fall back in lockstep, you know, because maybe that's where he figures his bread is being buttered. But here, listen to his answer about the Democrat Party.
How do Democrats win back white men like yourself?
I don't know. And truthfully, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if that's possible, to be honest. I think that's been seriously eroding for a while. And in some cases, in the conversations I've had, a lot of people, they don't even want to say it publicly, but they just feel like, you know, the other side seems like it's like men. Well, that men's the problem. Men are to blame, or their masculinity is toxic, or unless you're able to conform to our very strict kinds of definition of what we think's appropriate, well then, hey, I'm going to find an alternative, and they've done that. That's absolutely true. And once we've kind of turned their back on that demographic, it's going to be difficult to rebuild and replace that with those voters, because I think that migration has been ongoing phenomenon for several years, and that was been in front and center, you know, in part of the election in 24.
You know, when middle of the road Democrats have left the party and gone to the MAGA movement, like RFK Jr. and Tulsi Gabbard, I would submit that a lot of people who are like-minded in the Democratic Party, they're making the move too. You know, like the auto workers and the steel workers, people like that who have been following their union for years, and finally they're starting to wake up like, hey, this is BS. This isn't the party I signed up for, you know?
Yeah, and this movement of men migrating from the Democrat Party. It was back in the 90s. We used to call them the angry white young men. They called them the angry white young men. And I, you know, I see my son now, you know, looking at the opportunities that are out there, not for white guys. Now it's angry men, because it's broadened and it's walked across the whole demographic, you know, as far as age and race.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
You've got angry men now that they realize that that party is doing nothing for them. Now, women, they sit there and they got their causes. But, you know, one of the things that I've noticed that's in the news right now, they're about to do it to the women, too. Like, they sit there, they've been, you know, hanging on to abortion, you know, and the woman's rights, because the child has no rights. But the interesting thing that they're doing now is in this, you know, this birther citizenship thing, you know, like the ladies that are filing things going, the rights of their child, you know, we're not considering the rights of their children that are not born yet to be born in the United States. Well, wait a minute. Your party just said they don't have rights. They're not born yet. They, whatever their will is not there. So why are we, you follow what I'm saying? You can't, they're arguing on both sides.
Well, you know,
the fence there, and it doesn't make sense.
The Democrats have demonized men. First, like you said, first it was white men. Now they've included all men. They have. Mm-hmm. It's the men who's the problem. The man has to let you. The man has to let trans people do this. And I mean, they have literally. The Democrats have gone off the rails. I'm talking about the leaders of the party now. I'm not talking about, you know, the average Joe who considers himself to be a Democrat because his mom and dad were, and it's a family thing. Those, by the way, the people that they're losing, because some of those people are saying, whoa, wait a second. You know, there were people like myself who realized that the Democratic Party wasn't offering what I thought it was offering when Ronald Reagan came into office. They were called Reagan Democrats. They voted for President Reagan, and from that point on, the Democrats lost him. I think the Democrats are going to have Trump Democrats now, or MAGA Democrats now, and they won't get them back. Like Fetterman said, they are stuck. As a matter of fact, the interview went on. Listen.
Why is the Democratic Party viewed as toxic by so many? Like, even people inside the party acknowledge that.
I think their primary currency was shaming and scolding and talking down to people and telling them, hey, I know better than you, or you're dopes, or you're a bro, or you're ignorant, or, you know, don't you, how can you be this dumb? I can't imagine it. Like, and then, by the way, they're fascists. How can you vote for that? And, you know, when you're in a state like Pennsylvania, like, I know and I love people that voted for Trump, and they're not fascists. You know, they don't support insurrection and those things. And you know, if you go to an extreme and you become a boutique kind of a proposition, then you're going to lose the argument. And then we have done that.
Okay, so now Fetterman is saying he's not going to vote for the confirmation of RFK Jr. or Tulsi. That's what the latest news is. I think that still may change. I think if his constituents in Pennsylvania call his office and say, "Hey, John, we want him because we voted for Trump, like you said, we voted for Trump, and he wants him."
Well, you know, you got to do is do call his office. Now, I know what happened before the Senate, before everything that was going on, before they cleared the first hurdles, they were getting up to 600, actually over 600 calls a minute. The switchboard couldn't handle the calls that were pro Tulsi and pro Kennedy. Okay. And Cash. So, you know what, if they do that to Fetterman's, you know, more and more I'm realizing he's not as dumb as you might want to say he is. He's at least level-headed. Okay, he's an old-school Democrat, but, and that's where, you know, the thought comes in. You know, he might still be an old-school Democrat, but he might have to change the flag he's under.
You know, he's from a blue-collar area, but it's old-school blue-collar, like Bill said. These are old Democrats, steel workers, hardworking people who have, you know, been going every day into the hot steel mills, doing their job, are very pro-American, love their football, the whole thing. You know, they are Americans. And that's how Fetterman got into office, because he was the mayor of the city. You know, he was the mayor of the little town outside of Pittsburgh that
McKeesport?
No, he was
no, it
was
starts with Braddock.
Braddock, that's it. Exactly. I was trying to think of it. I was running through the whole list in my head.
When he got there, town was, no, I don't know how it looks now. I know I had to go there. There was a public file that I had to go maintain that was in Braddock. And I was going, geez, I don't want to go to Braddock. But that place was so depressed. So it looked like bombed out.
Well, you know, it's funny. Trump, in his first term, brought a lot of business back to Braddock. I mean, Braddock became more looking like it used to look like. When I first moved to Pittsburgh to work, Braddock was still a pretty industrial place. But like you said, Bill, I saw it die. You know, during the 90s, it just dried up and a lot of the mills shut down. And these poor people were out of work and it looked like a ghost town. But if you go through Braddock today, it's made a resurgence. And it's because a lot of industry has moved back into the area. And these are the people, by the way, that Fetterman is representing in Washington. So he says he's not going to vote for Tulsi or RFK Jr., but the president that they love has said he wants these people. I still think that there's room for Fetterman to make a change, you know, to be convinced. You know what I mean? By the way, was it you and I talking yesterday about the deal with the steel mill in Pittsburgh with U.S. Steel and the Nippon Steel?
All right. That came from the Trump meeting with the ambassador to Japan. I heard that. I listened to the interview on, I think it was out of New York when I was driving through. And basically what happened was the deal is going on, but not as a buy. Yeah, I think it was, what, a $10 or $11 billion deal? Now it's $25. But they won't own it. They're investing in it. So U.S. Steel maintains its ownership, and it's a U.S. company.
Yeah.
But what's the name of the company in Japan?
Nippon Steel.
Nippon Steel will invest in it because Japan wants to increase their investments, and they also want energy. They need some of our oil, our gas.
Instead of taking an ownership position in U.S. Steel,
they're invested in it.
They're going to take a stockholder, essentially, position in U.S. Steel, own a chunk of it, which is legal, but they won't own the business. The business will remain a total U.S. corporation. I think that's Trump. That's Trump the negotiator. Yeah. That's the art of the deal. You know?
Yeah, he said that's what he wanted. You know, now I guess it's still got a clear approval, and I'm sure you watch the people that don't want this. You know, see what coat of arms they're under. Are they Democrat or Republican?
Yeah,
you know, and then start looking into them and see what their what their real purpose is of that. Biden wanted to just take it. Yeah, you got it. Well, $10 million. Well, Trump got $25 million, and we're not giving up anything.
You know, getting back to Fetterman, for a second, you know, we played those two cuts where he sounded articulate, he sounded like he was thoughtful, and he sounded kind of like a Republican, right? But you would think, well, maybe he's going to change. Well, billionaire philanthropist and former vice presidential candidate under RFK, Nicole Shanahan, she called Fetterman a lazy slob, saying that this is, by the way, after he said he was going to vote no against RFK Jr. I mean, she says Fetterman toys with the idea of being a strong American man, but he is a lazy slob who can't get to the gym in spite of wearing gym clothes all day long. Now, you may say, what is Nicole Shanahan? What kind of clout does she have? Well, I did some investigating, and Nicole Shanahan, she made her money the old-fashioned way. She married into it. She was married to one of the co-founders of, dare I say, Google. And I want to say he's worth maybe $30 billion. So the marriage lasted about a week. I don't know how long it lasted. It lasted. It didn't last very long.
2 weeks.
Yeah. But she got a very generous settlement, some might say. I believe it was $1 billion plus. Now, normally to us normal people, that would be, I'd still be crying if I were writing that check, you know. $1 billion. But
a Band-Aid. You got to tear it up.
She was married to a guy named Brim, I think, who was one of the co-founders of Google. But for him, it was like, okay, I'll make it up next week. And no problem. Give her $1 billion plus and let her go. Now, $1 billion, if she turns her attention to these corrupt politicians who are causing a problem and says, okay, I'm going to put $50 million into an anti-Fetterman ad campaign. I'm going to take some average schmuck from off the street who has no name, and I'm going to make him a household name. You know, she can do it. She has the money, the resources.
Yeah.
So
you know, the thing about Fetterman, and in that way, it's kind of like Trump. Yeah, go ahead, take your best shot. Throw it at me. Because a lot of times you can take their bad and pivot from it. And, you know, you might have a mountain of bad news, but you put some frosting and a cherry on top. People remember the last thing you did. Right now, Trump is recovering from all the negative stabs that were given to him during the Biden administration.
What do they say? Revenge is the sweetest. There's a saying, revenge is a dish best served cold. Is that the same? Anyway.
Something like that. Something I know like what you're that. Talking about.
Yeah. Anyway, Trump is getting his revenge right now. It's cold revenge, you know. He's coming down, not with a fast and it's more of a slow revenge, you know.
Slow burn.
Yeah. But anyway, getting back to Nicole Shanahan for a second, you know, just before the confirmation hearing started, just before RFK sat down, she went online, I think it was on X, and she put this post essentially saying that if you don't back these candidates, you're going to be in for a hard time. Listen.
Hey, everyone. Tomorrow is a pivotal moment in our nation's history. At 10 a.m. Eastern Time, RFK will sit in front of the Senate Finance Committee for his confirmation hearing to be our nation's next Secretary of Health and Human Services. I urge everyone to call their U.S. senators over the following days and demand they vote yes on Bobby's nomination. He is more than qualified. He's proven, principled, and prepared to lead. I'll share a list below of key senators. If they represent your state, they need to hear from you. If they don't, please call your own senator and ask them to vote yes. We need as many votes as we can get. So this hasn't been widely reported, but in 2020, I cut large checks to Chuck Schumer to help Democrats flip two Senate seats in Georgia from red to blue. The two candidates I helped elect, Senator Raphael Warnock and Senator John Ossoff, please know I will be watching your votes very closely. I will make it my personal mission that you lose your seats in the Senate if you vote against the future health of America's children. And more than that, I also want to say to Senators Mitch McConnell, Lindsey Graham, Lisa Murkowski, Susan Collins, Bill Cassidy, Tom Tillis, James Lankford, Cory Booker, John Fetterman, Bernie Sanders, and Catherine Cortez Masto, this is a bipartisan message, and it comes directly from me. While Bobby may be willing to play nice, I won't. If you vote against him, I will personally fund challengers to primary you in your next election, and I will enlist hundreds of thousands to join me. Big Pharma and Big Ag have exploited us for far too long. It ends now. You're either on the side of transparency and accountability, or you are standing in the way. The choice is yours. Please choose wisely.
Wow. I mean, she's very direct. I mean, she's no beating around the bush. She tells you
where she stands. But you know what? If I were a politician, you know, I'm going to have my agenda. I'm going to do what I'm going to do, not what she tells me. And all she did would just put me on notice. And I'm not saying that, you know, that I don't disagree with her. I'm just saying.
I think that, no, if you feel confident enough in your stance, you definitely have to vote your conscience and your beliefs. Mm-hmm. But I think you also have to be aware of the fact that you may lose your job over it. I mean, because I hate to say it, but in politics, it's all about the money. It's funding. I mean, look at the way it's set up right now, Bill. I mean, representatives get into office; they get about a year to be a representative before they're working to raise money for their next campaign, the next election, because they're so expensive. I think it's the fault of the system. What they should do is they should say, you know, once you get into office, when you run again, you have a certain limit, and it's all government funding, meaning you cannot take. It's against the law to take private funds. Everybody has the same amount of money to work with.
I agree with that. I agree that there's a cap, and there's a minimum that you get.
Yep.
And there's a cap to what you get, and there's a cap to the term. And I think the terms need to be augmented in a way that, okay, the presidential elections are every 4 years. In between that are going to be, you know, every 4 years in the middle of the presidency. That's where you might get a congressional vote to make changes. So in other words, you know, like
as it stands right now, half of Congress comes up for reelection every 2 years, right? I guess they all do, right?
They all do.
Yeah, they all do. What am I saying? Yeah.
So you could augment that to where half does, half doesn't. Yeah, you know, one side could get an advantage and one side, you know, doesn't. But at least you're not sitting there holding the bag. You know, theoretically, yeah, we can change Congress lock, stock, and barrel, you know, straight up. But I don't know.
Maybe congressmen should get 4 years and they can only be in twice. You know, maybe a representative, instead of this running all the time, maybe they should get 4 years. You can only be reelected once, and then you have to take a hike. So you get 8 years
or,
max.
Or you can get two terms total, but one's a three and one's a two. So in other words, there's augmentation.
Well, there's a lot of options. I think we both agree. There are options better than the ones that we have right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so anyway, I see where Justice Sotomayor, you know, she's not looking very well, by the way. She's the one who is being helped along. She's got health problems. But her mind, I guess, is still incredibly liberal. She lashed out at the Supreme Court's presidential immunity decision in her first public remarks since Trump was sworn into office last month. She's a leftist, and, you know, this anger that the left has not been limited to just the House of Representatives. It's in the Senate. It's in the, you see it? It's in the Supreme Court. They're all ticked off. They're ticked off because they haven't got an answer. You know, the left has been pampered for, you know, so long. You know, they've had their president. I mean, they had Biden for 4 years, and half the country thought it was illegitimate. They didn't care. They didn't care. They had their guy in. He was toddling around, and they were just happy as a pig in manure. You know, the left was. Well, now they don't have that guy. As a matter of fact, they have their arch nemesis in the White House right now, and they don't know what to do. That's the thing that makes it interesting, is they're just so damned angry. You see him in front of the EPA screaming at a security guard, for God's sakes. I mean, come on. The poor guy's getting paid an hourly wage to stand in front of the door to say, you don't have an appointment. I'm sorry, you can't go in. I've been told that you have no appointment and there's nobody here to see you. I mean, he's trying to be diplomatic, more diplomatic than the diplomats are, you know?
And Maxine, she was unhinged, and it was terrible what she did there. So
awful, awful. But they again, there was Markey from Massachusetts there. You know, mm-hmm. he was if there was a crowd of 200 people there, there must have been 15 to 20 representatives. All of them were unhinged.
Well, there's an old saying. I won't say the word that starts with an S, so I'll just say defecate. But I think the Democrats right now are defecating and falling back in it because. And it's their own mess. And what they're worried about is what's going to be uncovered with all of these things that they're trying to get in to block.
You know, because- and speaking of blocking, right, Julie Kelly wrote, she's a real good reporter out of Washington. It appears acting FBI Director Brian Driscoll, after defying an order to produce the names of all FBI personnel involved in the January 6 cases, did turn over those names yesterday. Acting Deputy Attorney General Emil Bove sought the names. Excuse me, I had a cough sneak up on me. Acting Deputy Attorney General Emil Bove sought the names pursuant to President Trump's executive order related to the weaponization of the Department of Justice. Driscoll, working in an acting capacity, was insubordinate, that's in quotes, Bove wrote in a memo on Wednesday, by refusing to produce the names, just employee ID numbers, and the title. So I guess eventually he felt enough pressure where he released it. But what he did is he released it on a classified texting system so that it wasn't open to the general public. The problem they seem to have is they don't want the names of these people to become public. But I remind everybody that the FBI had absolutely no problem putting out the names of American citizens that they were targeting.
Right.
You know, that was no problem. Grandmothers, grandfathers, innocent people who were there thinking they were on a tour of the Capitol, who they threw in jail for 3 years. No problem screwing them up. But now they're being very sensitive to these guys' names?
Yeah, and there was approximately 5,000 names, FBI agents. And I thought, well, that's a big number. And I said, no, it's not. You know, if you sat there and said 50 states, 100 agents per state, well, that's kind of a small number. But then I said, no, this is just 50 for D.C. I mean, 5,000 for D.C.
Wow.
You know, so, you know, you talk about, yeah, we need the FBI, but we don't need what we have with the FBI. And they're not doing what they're supposed to. They're spying on just John Q. Public.
What gets me is they get such PR. I mean, I was thinking, I still watch the shows because they're pretty well done.
The FBI.
Yeah, it's the FBI, FBI International, FBI, what's the other, Wanted, Most Wanted. These are three shows that are on Thursday night on, I guess, NBC or one of the networks. I mean, every week they give this superhero promotion, like, oh, my God. And then you hear them arresting old ladies and old men for, you know, carrying a sign at a protest. This is nonsense. And by the way, I do believe, and I know this is a caveat that drives some people nuts, but it has to be said that there are good people, good men and women, just trying to do their job in these organizations like the FBI. You can't judge with a broad brush. But what I am saying is there's a good portion of your leadership that is political and corrupt. And these guys have got to go. They've got to go if you're ever going to clean it out. Now, I've heard some people say that the only way to fix it is to etch-a-sketch it. If you remember the etch-a-sketch, it was an old game where you drew something and then you lifted the page up and it disappeared. You etch-a-sketch the entire organization and you start with a new organization. I don't know. I don't know how drastic it is, but I do know it needs a lot of attention and it can't be ignored. Anything else you want to add, Bill? I have to apologize, by the way, this week. Some people have noticed that I have allergies and I think a little touch of a cold. So if I sound like I have socks in my nose, well, I have a sock in my nose. What do you know? No,
I was going to ask you about that sock in your nose.
Yes, it was very.
But you know, it's an attractive sock.
Thank you very much.
It's a nose sock.
Part of my good socks. Yes. Is there anything else you want to add, sir? Before we wind things up.
Yeah, there's a couple of stories here. We'll keep it short, though, and just mention them so that we've mentioned them. But, Trump is going to be at the Super Bowl.
Right.
And I guess Travis Kelce and Mahomes, they both think, boy, this is just very cool. Except for Democrats, they don't think it's cool at all.
Well, so I think that Kelce has got to be careful because he dates Taylor Swift. And, you know, she's kind of a leftist. So, but I think I think it, maybe it shows his independence, which I think is great.
Maybe it does. He's retiring, and you know she's got a lot of money, but he's got a lot of money too.
Well, he's not retiring. He's not.
Travis?
No, Kelsey's not retiring. He came out this week and said he has a lot of good football in him. So
okay, because I thought he was. They were saying he was retiring. Well, either way, he still thinks it's a great idea that he's going to be there. So, Trump, that is.
Yeah.
The first openly gay judge, Joseph. What is it, Molina? Flynn Molino?
I don't know. I've never been in front of him. In any capacity.
Resigned following an FBI raid on immigration. He's an advocate of illegal immigrants. So he said,
a free form judge. He was sort of like a
magistrate.
Magistrate. Okay.
I believe he was a magistrate. I'm not sure, but anyway, you know, that's what he was. So, I just thought, okay. And then our good friend up in now this is a great thing here. I mean, Hochul up in New York.
Yeah.
Apparently, she's pushing a lot of the Green New Deal and legislation there. It's going to cause an increase of taxes for everyone, so they can expect what is it? The average cost for energy, that's what it is, not taxes, but energy, is going to go up about $200 a month.
Oh, she's looking for all sorts of ways to make money. I mean, about a month and a half ago, she put this thing into place where if you drove your car into New York City, you would charge $9. She called it a toll, a work toll? To drive your car into New York, you had to pay $9. Mind you did it forever, for years. For nothing, and now so people were coming up with all these workarounds, you know.
Yeah, well, this wasn't a tax, but it will be a tax. This is for the energy deal. Your energy is going to cost about $200 more a month there in New York, which also is taxed. So she's going to get taxes there.
By the way, I should point out that there's been a rash of license plate thefts in New York, because one of the workarounds that people came up with is if I take your license plate and put it on my car and drive into New York with your plate, because it's a plate reader, you know, they read the plate to tell how much to charge who where, right? So they put the plate on their car driving to New York, and then they arrive out of New York, and then they put their own plates back on. Which is...
Yeah, boy, I'll tell you what, though, if you get pulled over and those plates don't match, you're in trouble.
You better be a good driver. You better pay attention.
And I guess the only last thing here is about gun rights. I guess that Trump signed an executive order to return gun rights to all Americans. So I guess we're going to get it kind of universal and better, and, you know, where they were trying to ban certain guns.
Well, one of the things they're going to work on during the 4 years, Trump said, is make a universal permit, meaning you'll be able to carry if you're licensed and approved to carry a gun in one state, you can't be arrested or stopped in another. It'll be wherever you drive, you can take your weapon. I thought that's kind of good.
And that means that, you know, a lot of people don't know this, but you know, I live in Louisiana, you know, I can buy these guns. You know, if you look and just look it up, you can see that there are guns that are legal in Louisiana or Texas that are not legal in Pennsylvania, or, you know, vice versa. What's legal in Pennsylvania may not be good in Massachusetts.
And it's not just they give you a fine. Some places will arrest you for having the gun.
No, in Massachusetts, some of the guns I have in Pennsylvania, if I sat there and said, okay, I'm going to take my little ACP. 9mm, you know, put it in the glove box. You got my concealed carry. And the guy goes, well, let me see your gun. Oh, can you get out of the car? Yeah, you know, and that's it. They're going to lock you up.
And they can take your weapon, too.
They take the weapon. They'll probably, you know, nullify your concealed carry. You've got a crime against you now that will sit there, a federal crime. And that means that you lose your gun rights.
Well, supposedly Trump's going to work on changing all that. Hey, I remind people that we sell a great coffee on this podcast. It's called Jim and Bill's Right Side Coffee. Mm-hmm. As I say it, Bill takes a sip. It's just that good. Jim and Bill's Right Side Coffee, made with the finest coffee beans that money can buy, and delivered in a a nice little package designed by our amazing designers. And we also have a new coffee, Bill, that we just introduced this past week. It's called MAPA, M-A-P-A, Make America Percolate Again. MAPA, I like that. It has a nice ring to it. It's a delicious coffee, too. All the stuff available at rightsideshop.com, rightsideshop.com.
Wake up on the right side with Right Side Coffee.
You have anything you want to add as we pull the plug on today's little update?
No, I was just going to say it's great coffee. It's grown in Central America. It's roasted here in the United States. So, you know, kind of a dual country thing here. But either way, it's great stuff. You got to try it. Look, you know, check it out, rightsideshop.com. Or just go to itsanotherday.com, and you'll see Right Side Shop at the top
okay,
of the page.
Okay, now, we have to do this, Bill. We have to do this. I kind of lied yesterday, you know. Maybe it's because it was 2 days away from the Super Bowl. I'll watch the Super Bowl. I've watched everyone since they came into being back in the, late 60s. So it's just one of those things. I'm a fan. So I'll be watching the Super Bowl. Any prediction on who do you think is going to win?
You know, I all right.
You live about 80 miles from Philadelphia, so.
Yeah, you know, I'm a Steeler fan, but I was a 49er fan too. But, you know, with Kansas City, I don't want to see them, you know, have a hold on the Super Bowl rings. I'd like to see Philly win it. I actually think they're the better team. I actually believe that there were some, you know, it's weird. They had some weird calls on the last game for, you know, Kansas City. And now they're changing some rules with some of the refs. And it happened last year, too. So I'm like going, okay, you know, once, shame on you.
Shame on me, yeah.
Yeah, you know, so you've got to sit there and go, I'm not so sure. So I'm really hoping, but they're both excellent teams.
Okay.
And
I'm kind of with you. I'd like to see Philadelphia have I like Patrick Mahomes. He seems
I do too. He seems like
a gentleman. He seems like a real good guy. Travis Kelce is a talented man. You know, and they always rise to the occasion. They always step up their game when things are going bad for them. They go into overdrive. That being said, Philadelphia, Jalen Hurts, he's got great skills. They've got Saquon Barkley. They've got some wonderful, talented people. And if anything, it's probably the most evenly matched Super Bowl in years. They got scrambling quarterbacks who can throw. And they've got some running backs. It's going to be an interesting game.
I think it's going to get down to the wire, and I think it's going to be a play that people question, you know, and just like how they got there. Yeah, I do. And so that could actually give the favor to, if you go by history, you know, tic-tac-toe, three in a row. So that would be, you know, Kansas City. But I'm still pulling for the Eagles.
I'm going to just for the sake of competition. You're going with the Eagles. I'll go with I'll go with the Chiefs. So one of us has to be right. By the way, I won't be disappointed if the Eagles win. I really don't have a. I'm like you. I'm a Steeler fan, and I'm a Patriots fan. Kind of a mixed bag. Oh, by the way, before we forget, I don't know what made me forget to say. Have you seen the picture of Bill Belichick standing next to his girlfriend? Bill Belichick is 73 or 74 years old. He's in great shape. I'm sure he uses a little Just for Men to keep his hair, you know, a certain color. I'm sure if he let it go, you'd see the real Bill Belichick. That being said, he's dating a young woman who's 24 years old. There's a picture of Belichick standing at a function, I guess down at the Super Bowl, and Belichick's in a dinner jacket and nice pants, and he looks good for a 73 or 4-year-old guy. And he on his arm is this vivacious, dare I say, sexy-looking girlfriend in a dress that is open and leaves little to the imagination. She's 24.
Mm-hmm.
Now, look it. I know that it's probably a marriage made, it's a relationship made in heaven. Mm. She's not after his money. Look at the
mere. No, you know, who says you can't find love in a stripper club?
But
you know,
but the thing is, you know, the mere fact that Bill Belichick has more money than some third world nations, you know, that's irrelevant. It's insignificant. It's not important.
Yeah, it really is. I don't know what you're talking about, Jim.
And also, you know, I'm sure at nighttime when they're looking up at the stars together in a warm, loving embrace, I'm sure the fact that she's into Taylor Swift and he's into Tom Swift means nothing. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. I mean, they are. He's old enough to be her grandfather. Okay, it is. Let me just say, it's an odd couple, and I don't think that it's a relationship that's going to last for decades. Hell, the guy hasn't got it. He hasn't got
decades.
He's
not
going to
be here decades.
Exactly. So,
but his money is, and so is she.
And you, so you, do you think that it's a relationship designed that they know what they're into? They know. I'm sure he's not a stupid guy. He's a really intelligent coach.
You know, everybody looks at his money, going, "Okay, when he kicks, I'm getting a piece of that." Well. And that would be family.
Yeah.
You know, but really it's his money. He can decide where it goes.
Oh, I bet you there are some family members who are not crazy about that relationship.
Oh, no. I'd like to be the fly in the wall at the Christmas party there for that.
I'd like to be at the reading of the will when the time comes.
Well, you know, yeah, they're not going to go. Their attorneys will go.
Anyway, I'm sure he'll be at the Super Bowl. Maybe they'll take a shot of him together. That is not somebody he bumped into in the crowd. That's his girlfriend, and she's 24. There should be a law. There should be a law against that.
He's a football fanatic.
I mean, Bill's. Some guys would applaud Belichick for his enthusiasm. You know. Anyway, I could go on and on. I have some old disc jockey lines that I'd like to say right now, you know. For example, he could have got arrested for assault with a dead weapon, you know what I mean? But there was one of them right there.
I'm hanging my head. You know
I just had to do that.
Yeah, you know what I'm going to say to that?
What's that?
Hasta la vista, baby. We're out of here.
This is CRN America.